Word, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about tragedy in the sky. In specific, we're talking about the flight controller. It was an error on the part of the flight controller, the chopper pilot, with the Army Black Hawk chopper colliding with the American Airlines plane, total of about 67. Some reports have said 68 total, but 67. And the headlines say there were no survivors. One headline I'm looking at, DC plane live, updates, our search for victims continue. And the Potomac River, no survivors expected. That brings me to the thought, ladies and gentlemen, when I look at a tragedy like this and I think on it, in fact, the time I thought about it and saw the news media this morning talking with my bride, we talked about the fact that life is sure, death is certain, and how we can't make plans for tomorrow, not realizing, not knowing what tomorrow holds. My thought goes to chapter 4, verse 13 and following. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into the city, such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And ladies and gentlemen, my mind goes to the text in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Many are familiar with this text. The scripture says, to everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, etc., etc., the text goes. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to understand today, as we try to grasp the enormity of this tragedy, is that our life is here for a moment, and it's gone. We may look at it on the basis 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 years, but in perspective of eternity, it is only a speck on a gigantic wall, a vapor that's here today and gone tomorrow. The brevity of life is what I want us to understand. And perhaps I'm speaking to you today, and you think somehow, some way, I've got all the time in the world to make a decision for Jesus. I've got all the time in the world to live, make my life, make my living, carry out my profession, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You don't know that. We don't know that. The scripture is very, very clear. It's appointed unto man once to die. God has an appointment for everyone under the sound of my voice. That appointment is not like a dentist appointment where you can pick up the phone and call and cancel the appointment, or that you can rearrange or reschedule the appointment. It's a fixed appointment on the calendar of God. When we're born into this world, God has the predetermined time that we'll die. But the thing that is left to you and to me is the volitional choice of what we do with saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. We don't know how many on that plane were lost. We don't know how many were saved. It is our prayer that they were saved people. But that decision is made while we're yet alive. The volitional choice to say yes to Christ as Savior and as Lord makes the determination of the destiny for our eternal soul. I believe I have Dr. Davis on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for taking my call. And I just want to say that I am very glad today that, first of all, not because of the tragedy or anything that happened, but I rejoice because of the moral fabric of America, how we come together to do just as the scripture says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 15 through 18, rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with those that weep. I'm very glad today that that's what we do as yes. Americans on today. We come together, you know, in times of tragedy, and even when it comes down times that we have to rejoice, we stick together as one. We are unlike any other nation on the face of the earth, and I thank God for that on today. But yet, my heart is very sad on today. Again, going back to what you said about the souls of those who may have been lost on both flights, either on the plane or on the helicopter, we pray that they made the moral choice or the spiritual choice in this particular case to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior while they had a chance. And this is why we as ministers go about and sound the alarm to everybody that we see, everyone we come in contact with, even when we come over the radio waves to even, and we don't see the faces who we are ministering to, but we try to make the message the same. Accept Christ while you have a chance, because life is not promised to anyone. Tomorrow is not promised. Today is not promised. You know, one time back in the older days, we used to say, here today, gone tomorrow. But now, Dr. Youngblood, is here today and gone today. I have seen that in many cases where people have woke up on any given morning and think that they have, you know, their whole future out in front of them. Yet at the end of that day, they're gone. Because, I mean, this is just how uncertain life is. But certainly, you know, I would hope that at the end of this investigation, that we don't find out that because of warped policies by the previous administration, including DEI, played any role in what happened in this particular situation. Now, I understand that they were pretty highly qualified pilots of both the airliner and the helicopter that probably could have made better choices, but certainly we don't know that right now. So we're not in this for the finger pointing, but we do want to say that we hope that this is certainly not the case. But again, prayers and condolences go out to all the families that are involved.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Davis, you touched on it, and I will elaborate on that thought. It is my understanding from both the newsreels on television, and I rolled it to every channel, and then on the material that I've read in the research this morning for this broadcast, as you said, there were highly trained pilots on both the chopper and on the American Airlines plane. I don't know about the qualifications or the experience for the flight controller. Do know in reading the printed words from the transmission from the flight controller of giving instructions, and between the instructions given to that pilot, which in my opinion would have avoided the collision had the pilot of the chopper heard it in time, reacted in time, and the change of the direction of the chopper in time could have avoided the collision. But my this dilemma is, why that late notice from the flight controller, if the flight controller in fact was watching on the oscilloscope the separation between the airplane and the helicopter? Why a late transmission to pass behind the plane when evidently there was not enough time to change the course direction to prevent it? But the things that we do know, let me just give you a list, Dr. Davis, of the things that we do know in relationship to this, and then get your take on it. Number one, we know that the flight 5342 was traveling from Wichita, Kansas to Reagan National, carrying a lot of the Olympic skaters on board with their families and the coaches. What we do know is the plane had 60 passengers and four crew members on board. What we do know is the Army helicopter had three on board. Now, there was some confusion on the television this morning whether the chopper had three or four. The latest news is they had three. And now that's an important thing to me, Dr. Davis, because I'm told with the blinded vision, because of the walls, the metal walls of that chopper, there's only a small porthole, if you please, a small area of vision on the right and on the left. And if you've got just one in the aft seat of the chopper, he cannot watch out of both sides of the chopper to make the termination. So my question is, with the one, only one in the aft seat, was he on the right side, the left side, to be able to have visual follow visual instructions from what was transmitted from the tower? So that's a question I have. Second, third thing that we know is, or the fourth thing, the plane was in its final leg of landing. It was on probably what's called the glide slope in the landing, doing about 120 miles an hour. I understand between 120 and 140, about 120 feet above the river. The Army Black Hawk chopper was on a training flight, and I'm not confused with that, but some of our listeners may be. Doesn't mean that they had green pilots training them, but it's a routine training flight that they were on for the 12th Aviation Battalion based out of Fort Belvoir in Virginia. We're told that the chopper was in a standard pattern, and the plane was in its standard flight pattern coming into DCA. So now, here's the thing that I'm setting up for us to discuss. As we can look at it from the human standpoint, everything was normal. The flight pattern was normal for the chopper. Flight pattern was normal for the plane. The flight instructor from the flight aviation tower was on target. So we call it a tragedy. We call it an accident. But from God's perspective, was it an accident or was it God's timing? What are your thoughts? How do we relate that? What do we say to our listeners today that will be consolation and hope for those that are listening?
Well, certainly, Dr. Youngblood, we must understand that God is always in control, and this accident didn't take him by surprise. You know, right. He already knew about this far in advance to what, you know, we have even come to know even up until this point. But yet, we don't want to, you know, paint him as a bad guy, you know, to say that, you know, well, he could have prevented that, he should have, so forth and so on. I mean, these things are what happens in life. But still yet, you know, going back to what you said, I just finished watching the press conference myself from the White House that the president gave, and I will say again that he continues to do a tremendous job. But then it also saddened me to watch those in the media begin to attack his words. They tried to say that he was blaming President Obama, President Biden, the DEI situation, so forth and so on. And I won't try to go back through everything that was said there. But still yet, I mean, this media, you know, attack needs to stop, you know, on the president. This is not, certainly not the time and the place for that. I mean, this is a time that we should all be coming together. Again, I mean, we as human beings can never we may never find out the reason why, you know, this particular thing happened. We can only come to conclusions after the investigation is complete. But as of right now, you know, we need to reserve our opinions to ourselves and just say, still yet, God is in control. You know, he knew what happened. And all we can hope and pray, again, is that the souls of those on board both flights were saved. And I'm just going to assume that, again, like you said earlier, somebody, maybe not all of them, but somebody on there probably made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and we certainly hope that they did. But my
absolutely, you touch on that, and if I could jump in for a moment, Dr. Davis, you touch on that and understand there were nanoseconds. In fact, I thought it was an unusual and unnecessary question as I watched some of the media this morning and some of the questions to transportation secretary, the newly appointed and approved transportation secretary. So an unusual question. With this tragedy, how long did the people live? Was it sudden death? Did they die as a result of dropping into the river and drowning or freezing to death? Or did they die in the air? Did they die because of the explosion? And I don't know how this was calculated, whether it was Duffy or one of the other spokespeople made the statement, said they probably had 8 seconds. 8 seconds. So touching on what you said and leading off from that, it is my prayer that in that 8 seconds, multitudes that perhaps were lost said yes to Jesus as Savior.
Amen.
And as Lord.
Amen.
And again, I'm looking
at
this.
Certainly,
yes, go ahead.
That's certainly my hope also, Dr. Youngblood. As you said, I mean, at the end of, you know, what I had to say a little while ago, my hope was that all 60, 65, whatever, were on the plane and whoever was on the helicopter. I pray that they had a chance. You know, even if it wasn't but 8 seconds, it doesn't take God but a nanosecond. I mean, when you're ready, God is
right.
ready. Once you
That's
make
right.
up your mind that you're ready for him, you know, he's ready to come in and save you. So we certainly hope that they took advantage of that. But on the other hand, it may not have happened, but certainly our hopes is always in the positive that it did.
Absolutely. I'm going to read just a blurb and then ask you to respond. Says, last night the helicopter was in a standard pattern. The American Airlines flight coming in to land was in a standard pattern as it was coming into DCA. So this was not unusual at all, according to Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, the newly appointed sworn-in secretary. And this is the thing that I still go back to. Traffic controller, do you have CRJ in sight? The controller said, PAT 25 passed behind CRJ. And in normal lingo, the flight controller is saying to the pilot of the chopper, pass behind. Let the plane go first. You follow behind. They're on the same altitude pattern. And they were crisscrossing. Additional air traffic control audio shortly before the collision captures the helicopter pilot saying, PAT 25 has aircraft in sight, request visual separation. So the pilot was saying, we see the plane, what's the distance between us? So that tells me that the chopper pilot did not, if he had on the night goggles, night vision goggles, that perception, depth perception, is dramatically different from the depth perception without the goggles on, if it were daylight, for example. So in my opinion only, the flight controller was not in the proper time frame of giving warning instructions. And secondly, the pilot of the chopper could not react in enough time, did not have enough time, window frame time, to make a change to prevent the crash. So it would look to me that it was an accident, a tragedy, that we put in from the human perspective, unavoidable. Nothing could be done to change it. And I go back to Psalms 144 and verse 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Goes back to God's sovereign timing and what God is doing and saying. I go back also, Dr. Davis, to Psalms 39 and verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Dr. Davis, you and I both know from the ministry perspective that life is frail. Time is short, and yet
Amen.
we both witness and see day after day, month in, month out, individuals in our churches living as though they have all of the tomorrows. So, Dr. Davis, take a few minutes and speak to our listening audience of the warning, the challenge, the encouragement to recognize. I use the term, Dr. Davis, that many awakened this morning, put your shoes on, but the undertaker will take them off this evening. That is how brief life is.
Amen.
And I believe how we need to analyze it. What say you?
Well, certainly, Dr. Youngblood, again, getting back to, you know, everything surrounding our conversation here, we certainly hope that if anyone that are listening today, if you have not accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what are you waiting on? What's your hold up? Why stand ye halt between two opinions? Mm-hmm. You need to make that choice right now. You need to make a conscious decision right now while it is called today. Harden not your heart. You need to go ahead and make that choice. We all know how we came here, but we don't know how we're going to leave. We don't know the day or the hour. So certainly when we look at everything that Christ talked about in the scripture, and he talked about heaven and hell a lot, certainly he also talks about the brevity and the frailty of life. He lets us know, Dr. Youngblood, that we all don't know the day or the hour. He says, man may live 70 years, and if by reason of health and strength, you may get more, but he doesn't promise you 70 years. You know, there's a lot of preachers that preach that God has promised you 70 years. No, my friend, you are 1,000% wrong.
That's
he
right.
didn't promise us 1 hour on this earth. He didn't promise, but he let us know that if we are blessed to live to that point, then all of those years that we spend here should be spent giving him the praise for the time that we have been here. And if we get more, we praise him for more. So with that being said, God knew that this particular day and point in time was already set on his calendar for all of those individuals that were involved right there. But they can't say, even when they stand before him, that they didn't have a chance. And this is our warning to everyone. When your hour, when your name is called to stand before God, stand before him as father and not as judge. Make the choice while you have a chance. So again, we're crying out to you. I got tears in my eyes right now.
Amen.
Deep down in my soul. Because I'm so sad that this had to happen to all of those individuals at this particular point in time. But this day, again, is already on the calendar of God. Our day and time, we don't know when that is, but it's already set on the calendar of God. But it behooves us to be ready against that day.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, hold your thought just a minute. I believe we have a caller on the line. Becky, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you both for being on the air and speaking the truth. I am excited, so excited to talk to you guys. I've just listened to you all the time. So the tragedy is, yes, the plane and the helicopter hit each other. But you were talking about that eight-second moment, okay? So I believe there was also the moment where one side of the plane did see. I know when I'm sitting in a plane and I'm flying in and I'm ready for that landing, I have my heart and my mind set on, okay, God, you're in control. Let's land this plane nicely. So I'm already praying, and I believe that there were probably people doing that. And then on the right side, there were probably people seeing that helicopter come right to them, and they probably screamed out, oh, God. Mm-hmm. So many heard that probably just before the accident and had a moment in their heart. That's my belief, first.
Amen.
And secondly, I would love to hear from the families telling us how their loved ones were saved. And I think that would inspire the nation to hear that and lift the nation up from this tragedy. We are in the birth pangs of Revelation right now. We need to recognize this, understand this, and allow growth to happen from this. Okay, I'm done.
Becky, I am so thankful that you called and you're spot on with your statements. I pray that it'll be a challenge to each and every one of our listeners today and the realization and recognition that our days are numbered. We're as a vapor here today and gone tomorrow. It behooves us, as you said, that we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord while there is opportunity, while there is life, while there is the recognition. And it is my prayer, as you said, and I will double that statement, that those that are looking out perhaps saw this tragedy coming in that nanosecond, those few nano moments that they said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Becky, thank you so much for your call. God bless you and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Dr. Davis, I'm going to read in Luke chapter 12 a few verses and get your take on it in these final moments of the broadcast today. And Luke 12, verse 16 and following, Jesus speaking, and he, speaking of Jesus, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So the scripture winds up in verse 21. So it is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. There's a need for people listening, Dr. Davis, to recognize we can't make the brag. Here's what we're going to do tomorrow. Here's what we're going to do today. But to realize and recognize that every split second in our lives is a benevolent gift from a benevolent donor, and that is God himself giving us those moments. Dr. Davis, got about a minute. Take this minute, wrap up for us with a challenge to our listeners today to say yes to Jesus Christ while there's yet opportunity.
Amen. Let us remember, amen, it's not our will, but it's God's will that must be done and will be done in our lives. And again, if we are living on today, we still yet have a chance. So if you have not accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do it at this particular time. We'll be glad to do that with you at any time, even on the air. If you call in and say, I want to accept Christ, we will take out the time to make sure that that happens, my friend. So don't let this opportunity slip by you, because, again, tomorrow is not promised. Even the end of the day is not promised. But do it while you have a chance, while you have your health and strength, while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior right now on today.
Amen. And I'll put a footnote on that, Dr. Davis. All an individual has to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost on my way to a devil's hell. Forgive me my sin. Come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. Dr. Davis, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay